May I speak in the name of our loving God, Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer. Amen. Please do have a seat. Lovely to be with you again this morning. And Easter is a mystery that I really enjoy dwelling in. Today's reading, I believe, is a recollection of Jesus' parable of the sheepfold by John the Elder, a disciple of Jesus. John, who perhaps more than any other disciple understood who Jesus really was. Who he was part of the triune community of God. John, more than any other, understood that he was especially loved by God and by Jesus. Maybe it felt to him like he was Jesus' favourite. After all, he describes himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. I think we are each God's favourite. And John invites us to notice in his gospel what that is like. Before I embark on a brief exploration of the passage, I want to compare it to a goo zillionaire cheesecake. Does anybody eat those? I have them sometimes. They are just so chocolatey and dense and rich. Now, it is possible to gobble one down all at once. Indeed, I have. But I notice all the tastes and textures and have much less chance of being poorly if I eat it slowly and carefully. And a spoon at a time. You heard it here first. This passage is a goo cheesecake. I would like us all to pay a bit more attention to the book of John. It's all too easy to rush through and tick off the chapters of your Bible in a year planner. But this stuff is even more delicious than goo. And I would like to eat some of it this morning with you. And then leave a bit in the fridge in case you get peckish in the middle of the night. I think the bit of the passage most of us already understand is where Jesus describes himself as the Good Shepherd. We talk about it a lot in church. We're familiar with the image. We have hymns like, "The Lord's my shepherd," and "The King of love my shepherd is," like we just sung. And then we all have those pictures in our mind of a blue-eyed Jesus, with a lamb round his neck. A shepherd walks with sheep every day. And helps them live life in a safe and enjoyable manner. This is a picture of Zoe life in the kingdom and a metaphor for discipleship. So we get that part, but often rush over the other bits, like hoovering up the crumbs from the biscuit base of a goo before we have even swallowed the caramel. But a shepherd also stood in between the sheep and danger. They delivered them from their enemies, killing the foe and leading the sheep to ongoing life. David, in the Old Testament, talks about lions and bears. When he cut off Goliath's head, he had had a lot of practice fighting wild animals. I am really interested in the gate imagery in today's passage. I think it was described as the door in the version that Herman rang, but it was gate in the one that I was reading. Different translations use different words. And for me, the gate in this passage reminds me of its echo in Revelation 21. In that other passage, we are told, I believe again by John the Elder, that the gates of the New Jerusalem, the glorious home of Christ and his bride, will never be shut. And in this morning's passage, Jesus is both the gate and the one who walks through it. His parables were never easy. It's no wonder people didn't get them. But I like the Eastern Orthodox understanding of the resurrection of Christ, where he harrows hell and brings out those already departed from the realms of the dead. This was prefigured in the gospel descriptions of the curtain torn in two and the tombs breaking open. That is also how I understand this passage, that Jesus as the shepherd and way out of death leads humans who have already died out of death and into life. The sheep follow Jesus out of the sheepfold. But he is also the gate, a gate which keeps out those who would ever harm us. The way back to death as everlasting destruction is barred by Jesus forever. In contrast, the gates to Jesus in Revelation are never shut. Like Rob Bell, I believe that even those who resist Jesus may change their mind and walk through it whenever they choose. Why indeed should God be thwarted, who desires that no one be lost? I do believe love wins. The Spirit and the Bride even invite the stragglers to the supper in Revelation 22. And if the Holy and Catholic Church is the bride, then the others must be unbelievers or don't knows. The good news for many of us is the good news that Jesus has saved us all from everlasting destruction and is redeeming the world. Not that some of us can get into heaven and some can't. Jesus' voice in today's passage is recognised by the sheep. After his resurrection, they who were dead heard him and followed him out of death. We who are still alive and hear the still small voice of the Holy Spirit follow him into Zoe life. I think that the important thing for me in this passage is that only Jesus can die and raise us with him. See Colossians 3 if you can't remember that idea. Only Jesus can free the whole of humanity from the everlasting destruction caused by our ego, anti-dependence and sin as we rise with him. At Easter, he achieved a death-destroying miracle. He allowed the mistreatment, fear, rage and hatred we apply to so many others to be applied to him. And through our destruction of him, he destroyed our arch enemy, death. He opened his arms upon the cross in a wide embrace of the world and an invitation to walk with him into the way of the kingdom as he took all of us into the heart of the Trinity as he rose. So I've said most of what I wanted to say this morning. It's a different interpretation to those who would talk of appeasing an angry God and then everlasting life conditional on right belief or right living. You must discover for yourself what you believe. It's a big mouthful of goo to chew over. But what about that little bit left in the fridge for your midnight feast? Who are the ones Jesus called thieves and bandits? The ones that came before him. In what ways were they being deceitful? Why do we trust Jesus' voice and not theirs? How can we tell who is speaking? Something for you to ponder over when you have the midnight munchies. Amen.